The witness of ancient wisdom is from Jeremiah and from Colossians. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The witness of modern wisdom is an excerpt from The Root of the Root of Yourself by the mystic poet Rumi. You were born from a ray of God's majesty and have the blessings of a good star. We suffer at the hands of things that don't exist. Come, return to the root of the root of yourself. You are a ruby embedded in granite. How long will you pretend it's not true? We can see it in your eyes. Come to the root of yourself. God is still speaking.
We're filled with grace, right? We can do this. I've got a backup plan. Let me try this, okay? See if that works. Is that good? All right. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you. I've been to Hillsboro before. Does anybody remember that? Oh, good. Oh, good. It's really good to be back with you. I don't know, you know this, that Adam Hange and I are dear friends, and we work together in all kinds of different places. So I was so excited when Adam called me and asked me if I would come and bring a word, or lots of words, to you and celebrate the sacredness of communion with you in this on this beautiful Oregon summer day. Almost perfect temperature, almost perfect. I don't know what perfect is, honestly, depends on who you are, but it's good to be here on this day. Will you pray with me? Dios de mi vida y mi corazón, aquí estamos otra vez en tu presencia. Te pido en este momento que nos enseñas tu amor, tan fuerte que no podemos escondernos. Bendita estas palabras que sean guiadas por ti. En el nombre de nuestro Salvador Jesucristo. Amen. Oh, beloved God, gracious one, God and the mother and father of us all, God of abundant love, we seek your ever-present grace and blessing at this time. Cast your Holy Spirit among us, be with us, all of us gathered here. Open our hearts and our ears and release our spirits. We bless these words as they were prepared in your name and in the name of the one who came to teach us the way, to understand and receive your everlasting love, Jesus the Christ, our rock and our redeemer. I also want to give thanks for the gift of the masses that can hear this in another time. It's often that I am not able to make it to church. I'm from Ainsworth United Church of Christ. That's where I sit in the pews in Northeast Portland. And now I've just moved to Beaverton. So it's a little bit of a trek, but anyway, I just love the opportunity to be able to worship no matter where we are and who we are on life's journey. There is a Native American cultural practice called the seventh generation principle. Anyone aware of that? The seventh generation principle. The seventh generation principle says that every decision, action, if it personal, governmental or corporate, we must consider how it will affect those who follow us. And I end quote. This is written by our Native American siblings. In the last few years, I've learned from our siblings of Native American heritage that the seventh generation practice has been critical to their recovery of story, to their recovery of their roots, to their recovery of family, to their recovery of language, and to their recovery of truth. Look to the past, remain in the present, and hearken toward the future. However, if we do all that, it's absolutely essential that the story is shared through faithful and authentic voices that can be trusted. Such practice describes looking back to our ancestors and looking toward the future for our offsprings. But you see, what that means is that we're the current generation, right? We're the ones here now, which I liken to the middle space. The middle space, the back and the front and the middle space. Perhaps we could imagine it as thin space. Thin space is a concept in Celtic spirituality, mostly of Irish and Scottish descent, where the veil between the earthly and spiritual realms, thin space, makes it easier to experience a sense of the divine. So that means we're in that thin space, in that middle space, that we might have an opportunity to experience the sense of the divine. While we may be of different cultural traditions, we are actually called to look back at ancient story, at authentic scriptures that give us a deeper glance and glimpse of what was happening thousands of years ago. In these ancient stories that we appreciate our ancestors so that we might revive an understanding of their times as we live into our times. With that in mind, our work is to look for the truth in its many translations. I can't even count for you the numbers of translations that our Bible has gone through. But if we look at that with our work and look at the truth in its many translations to discern and consider what we are called to do in this time and space, it is in this middle space that we can claim our rootedness. It is in this middle space that we can claim our rootedness. Now, I have to say to you that I am not the first to say that the ancient texts are confusing. They're confusing at times. And the book of Jeremiah is really complicated. And when I was studying, and I've known this when I went to seminary and so forth, but every time I read it, I said, wow, this is complicated. Well, some scholars contend that it was combined from three different sets of scrolls, so it doesn't actually flow in time frame. Three different sets of scrolls. That said, they agree that Jeremiah continually preached about the covenant and the bond between God and the people of Judah. That's their truth. That's his truth. But Jeremiah's prophecy is the product of fiercely troubled times. Jeremiah's prophecy is the product of fiercely troubled times. The nation state of Judah was experiencing turmoil from within and without. Egypt and Babylon were vying for the control of the country, with Judah finally becoming a subordinate state of the Babylonian Empire, a dictatorship that extracted immense resources and taxes that interfered with Judah's sovereignty. Judah tried to get out of it, but every time it was met with more totalitarian strength every single time. It was in these tumultuous times that the people were overcome with doubt and despair. You see, chapter 17 that we heard read, Jeremiah reminds them that God is still their anchor. God is still their anchor. Jeremiah reminds them that their water, their roots are supported with that tree. That's a symbol. even in troubling times, the divine wisdom is still their foundation. That divine wisdom was still their foundation in the midst of it. Scholars share that these verses that we read, 7 and 8, are nestled in the prophetic writings of Jeremiah, such as the counterpoint of the preceding verses, which discuss the cursed state of those who trust in human dominion and turn away from God. In the fifth verse that we did not read, Jeremiah warns them about making humans into godlike figures. He emphasizes the importance of spiritual reliance over worldly dependence. In contrast to the cursed state, Jeremiah provides a vivid illustration of the blessings that come from placing one's trust in God. The metaphor of the tree is referred to almost 150 times in the Bible. So it's no surprise that Jeremiah refers to it in his text about trust and assurance. In his commentary, William David says it this way, and I quote, "Being like a tree planted by the water illustrates the power of trusting in God. It is a steady source of nourishment and sustenance. Its roots are anchored firmly enough to draw from hidden resources in times of trouble." We too can trust God. The fruits of what we produce in our own lives, love, joy, peace, kindness, come naturally. And I end quote. So you see, our deep rustling roots are nourished by a God we can trust. Bottom line. As I was pondering the text for this morning from Jeremiah, I went on a search for some current and contemporary stories about trees. As you can imagine, there's hundreds and thousands of stories that of people in the U.S. and around the world who are doing wondrous things to save the planet. Wondrous things. I was drawn to a story of David Millarc. Has anybody ever heard of David Millarc? Well, there's a website, of course. David Millarc is the founder of Archangel Ancient Tree Archive. Mr. Millarc shares that he is on a mission to restore the lungs of the planet, a mission that now reaches close to 300 people per year. And this is what he says. "Spend a couple of days in an old growth forest and you'll come out different from when you went in. Those trees affect our physical, our mental, and especially our spiritual bodies. Redwoods have been on this planet for 400 million years longer than humans. I believe that trees have a soul," he says. "They have a conscience. And I do believe that anyone, everyone, can learn to communicate with them." David Millarc lives in rural Michigan. And next to his house is a large warehouse where he grows thousands of infant sequoia and coastal redwood saplings, some of them from Oregon. He grows those along with many other tree species. He says that they're not just any sapling, they're descendants. They're descendants of champion trees, as he calls them. Story after story describes the champion trees, like the sequoias, the redwoods, the oaks, and so on, that were among the tallest trees and with expansive perimeters, some of which actually, as we know, were victims of forest fires. Well, if they had enough life in them, they could be cloned. And that's what he's doing. He's cloning them for future saplings, carrying the lineage of the old trees. His saplings will now grow on indigenous lands in about 55 U.S. cities, including his beloved home of Detroit. As an Oregonian who loves trees, I find this very refreshing. David Millark has a powerful personal story, much longer than I could ever go to in this morning. However, he convincingly claims that many of these trees were alive thousands of years ago, as I said, but thousands of years before Jesus. Thousands of years before Jesus even walked the earth. He has merged his spiritual convictions with the science, and that has connected that history with current times, looking toward the future. Millark has no doubt that trees are sensitive beings, as he said. They understand us, they have feelings, they're intelligent, and they feel pain. So if you get discouraged, he says, we can reforest the whole planet with the strongest, oldest trees. It is our best shot of solving climate change. Wrestling in hope, supported by action. That's what I call it. Dear beloved friends and family of First Current, I missed a page. I was always worried about this happening. I've been thinking about both the Jeremiah story and the Millark story, and how those tell story of trees, and how they move us from that past into the present and into the future. And like I say, I don't know, does anyone besides me just like to sit by a tree? Just sit by a tree. You can almost hear them purring, right? You can almost hear them purring. And what's really interesting, I love the conversation with the kids, because they're scientists, by the way. They know those answers to those questions were very clear. And they were talking about the different kinds of roots, the expansive roots, the perimeter roots, all of the ones that exist. And I'm just delighted, as I said, that we, in this area of the world, get to see them. And as you know, our task is to take care of them. To take care of them. So, dearly beloved family and friends of Hillsboro First Congregational UCC, I encourage you to reflect on your distinct roots and the rustling of the soil. Experience your story of long ago, of today, and what you hope for in the future. You have a phenomenal history. 159 years, that's impressive. Very impressive. It is inspiring to watch the roots of your congregation continue to bloom with compassion, humility, openness, respect, generosity, and joy. In the midst of this rapidly challenging times and inspiring times, I didn't tell you, I don't think I told you that I came to Oregon about 50-ish years ago and settled in Forest Grove. Settled in Forest Grove, just, you know, the neighborhood right over here. And I watched, and you know how we are, we UCCers, we like to find our kin. Right, we go looking for our kin. So there was no question that I found kinship in Hillsboro. So it was really a joy to join the United Church of Christ many years later, after the 50th year, and discover my kin. And a part of that is that we are always searching for our backstory, middle story, and future story. Forest Grove's no different. Now, I also know, and I've watched, Washington County and Hillsboro transform from a small farm community to a city. Both Forest Grove and Hillsboro, Beaverton. I live in Beaverton now. The farm communities to cities that are rich with diversity of all kinds, that are residents come from all parts of the world, Christians of all traditions, and interfaith communities that engage differing spiritual practices. Yes, challenging and inspiring times. Certainly, would you agree we're in rustling in these times of roots? Our roots are rustling And it's interesting if we just listen to how they're wrestling. Like times in our history, the church, our church big, beyond these walls, in the 21st century, the church is called to be relevant in the times ahead. We are in the midst, as you know, of a radically changing society that is searching for the explanation of the chaos of the current culture. Society's masses are hungry for answers that will, and they will accept almost any rationalization of the miracles of faith, regardless of this sustainability. There is a yearning for truth and hope and reconciliation. We, dear trees, consider yourself a tree. We, dear trees, are called to be the transforming force in the midst of it. Friends, we have the responsibility to influence the social culture rather than being a product of it. We have an opportunity to be part of the story in these middle spaces. So, as we look at the roots of the gardens around us, see their richness and their beauty, we see the color of their roots, their nutritious nature, their healing capacities, their flavor, their distinction, and peculiarity. Our soil spaces might be different, and they may be unique for you. They might be in a pot of soil, they might be in a garden, they might be in our backyards, in the fields, along the streets, on sandy beaches, in mighty forests, or by the side of the river's edge, like we heard today. We go hearken back to the book of Jeremiah, hundreds of years ago, written about 500 years before Christ. So we can hear that ancient story and be convinced and be confident that we can trust God. We can trust God. So let's listen. Let's listen for the rustling of roots filled with nutrients, flavor, healing, and liberation. May it be so. Amen. Now it's prayer time, church. It is prayer time. Indeed, it is time for us to pray. We remember the circles from small to large of our kin that we are seeking companionship and care. We remember your family, our family, near and far, who are in need of care. We lift up the communities of this land and around the globe who are struggling with fear and discouragement. We lift up the siblings of our own communities and in our church family who yearn for a word of healing and hope. As a reminder, if you'd like a word of prayer, just leave a note and that will go into the prayer circle. And we lift up those who we might consider our enemies. We lift up those who are our neighbors. We lift up those who are our siblings. And we lift up those whom we may not agree with in prayer. And as followers of Jesus the Christ, who taught us we are bold to pray together. Loving Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.